laughing. Her name is Amanda O'Leary, otherwise known as Amazing Amanda, and she is the ultimate in happiness experts.
No pressure.
No pressure at all, right? Yeah. And we can actually hire you out for parties and everything. You'd be the life of the party, the whole bed, right?
Absolutely. And yeah. And also, I love doing motivational speaking because it's a lost art for people to figure out how to enjoy life. You know? Yeah. And all that's an amazing... There's that word again. We should have one of those ducks that fly in, like, you know.
Right? So, but we're having a really great day here. This is one of our special editions of this show that you get to have tea with me on my deck here in... Where are we? We're in South Surrey. Yeah.
And it's a glorious day. It's a glorious day. It's a wonderful day to be celebrating with tea out on your back deck.
Yeah.
And perfect timing because earlier today, not so nice.
We had liquid sunshine.
Oh, did we? By the proverbial bucketfuls, yes. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be good for the strawberries, though.
It is. And now they're kissed with the sun, so even better.
Yeah, even better. Yeah. The sweeter the berry.
I got to go stand me in some sunshine and some rain here. I got to go get sweet.
Yeah, there you go. So, a happiness expert. How amazing Amanda. How did you get to be... It's so jovial, so happy, and every time I see you, I don't ever think I stop laughing.
Well, but you know what? If you noticed, I laugh too. Like, it's not a one-way conversation. So, I think people are amazing. They all have, they're so unique. Mm-hmm. They're so, their perspective is so... unique. Their energy is so unique. And some people, some people need a little raising up and sort of you go underneath them and lend, I refer to it as lending them my energy so that, because if you're in a bit of a dust bowl, you need somebody to raise you up out of the cloud and remind you that it's okay to laugh.
Yeah,
and I was raised in a family where you laughed. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad, oh my gosh, they would fire off at each other, and in a good way, not like, you know, you're an idiot, Joe. I'm not so fun to you either, Isabel. You know, like nothing like that. It was always gentle humor, right? But it was always based on one-upping. So it was all about listening to what the other person said, realizing that humor could turn on a word, and you could have a great time with nothing else in the room. Like when I grew up, we lived on a farm, and we had one TV station.
Oh, see, now I can one up you. We had three.
Well, we had three too. Just two were snow. That was it.
Exactly, right?
So, bunny rabbit ears.
Oh, with
tinfoil attached.
Yeah. It's like on occasion, it's like you slap the little brother against the head. Go stand over there with one foot raising the arms out, buddy.
No, you didn't. No, not in my family because I was the youngest, so you didn't.
I was the middle kid.
So, that person. Okay.
No, I have an older sister and a younger brother.
I've got I've got four older brothers and two older sisters.
Oh, see, then you all avoided the middle child syndrome. Lost and forgotten.
My middle sister does have one of those where she ended up sitting on the church of the step and... And mom and dad got home and counted the heads as they were coming out and realized they were missing one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she never forgave them. But that, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember that day when you let... No.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Somebody learned to play the violin. Here she goes again.
Yeah.
So
humor was a big part of growing up, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, we were all encouraged to sort of gum it, or, you know, they, like, you could break your teeth on, you know, what do you call that when you're teething? You know, like, you could, you know, like, break your teeth is not the word, although every dentist in the place just went, yes, learn to be humorous. I feel a filling falling out, yes. But where you could learn how to be humorous. So, one, we heard a lot of it,
mm-hmm.
And then as we grew up, we could try being funny. And as long as we weren't, what the phrase was, bold.
Yeah.
Everybody was a perfect audience.
Yeah.
So we knew very, so when people say, man, you ever listen to your audience? Like, not do you ever listen to your audience, but you, boy, do you ever listen to your audience? Because I have that ear. So I can hear when I've clicked over.
Right.
And that's a very important thing, because every audience has a different comfort zone and a different, you know, what tickles them.
Yes.
They have different references. They have different topics that they love and everything else. And you've got to find their flow.
Yeah.
And their words. And their words.
Yeah. And right? they can be very important, because I've seen some people with, because I'm usually the coach behind the audience, right? I tell people, it's like, I wouldn't tell that joke to this audience.
Yes.
And then they go ahead and
against your advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, you know, that joke worked everywhere else. It's like,
this ain't everywhere
but
that, else.
But that one wasn't gonna go over so well.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's also different topic matters too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's important. It's like teaching people to stick to their audience.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. But to listen, mm-hmm. to listen, because they'll tell you if they're loving what you're doing. And I tell you, if I get a giggle out of an audience, mm-hmm. I tell you, I'm like. Well, I'm an O'Leary, so we love butter. So I just lather on the butter. Like, I just lather it on. If they go for one thing, I layer on another one. If they love that, I go and I layer on another one. Because it's the sandwich they love.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, there's nothing in my mind that puts up barriers to say, ooh, no, don't go. They won't take one more step. They won't take one more step. Right? But they love it, because you're putting down little pieces that they follow, and they know where you're going without knowing where you're going.
Right.
Right? Because it's all a surprise to them, sort of thing, but they recognize themselves, mm-hmm. or they recognize their wife, or they recognize somebody in what you've said. And with that, you've just opened up the gate to their heart, so that they can laugh hugely and openly.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the more you can hold up the mirror to somebody to say, and I always take the fall. I'm always the one who usually holds up the mirror to myself, because I think, like, seriously, some of the things I've done, and I think, how did you, like, you've got to tell people about this. Why? Not because it proves to me in a very nice way how wonderful and how amazing I always... Yeah, there you go. I'm going to keep working that word in there. How amazing you are, but how human you are.
Right.
And when people see that, like, to me, human and humor...
Yeah, they kind of go together, don't they? Yeah, I see the connection there.
Exactly. Amazingly enough, you do. No.
Early when we were just getting things set up, and you were talking about talking about family history and stuff like that, and we were joking around about
Liquid Rain. Liquid Sunshine.
The Liquid Sunshine and
Liquid
everything.
Rain.
Yeah, Liquid Rain. It's rare. Wait, can we have, I guess, somewhere in the universe, I guess you could have rain be something other than liquid, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. The meteorologist wouldn't get it right anyway.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the fact that we're lucky enough to be sitting out on, with the special edition, on your back deck.
Yeah.
And what a gorgeous day it is. And earlier it was coming down in buckets. And I always remind myself of where I came from. Because people don't always appreciate the fact that rain is what fills up. It's sort of like humor.
Oh, you were talking about the tap. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, so every time,
It being able to turn the tap on and water come out.
Yeah.
And so there's some people that when they turn on the happiness tap, they get sludge instead of the rainfall.
Yeah, exactly.
In that case, it's like, it's cool when the rain falls, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because that gets them up off of the bottom, right? Like I don't know if most people don't know what a cistern is, but I grew up on a farm, and you needed part of the basement was donated to catching the rainfall. Mm-hmm. And with the rainfall, of course, you caught everything else. So there could be, I was never allowed in there, but there was a certain amount on the bottom that was just collected from nature running in, right? And so when you got down low in the water, that also meant the pump outside was usually low.
Right.
So, you called somebody. Who was a guy with a great big, great big truck, and they would come and fill up your cistern.
Oh, okay.
Right? Now, it cost money. So what would be better? Phoning up the guy and saying, cost money, or having a natural flow in?
Right.
So what I was thinking was, when people need to learn how to be humorous and everything else, that's like phoning up the guy and saying, the cistern guy and saying, mm-hmm. come fill up my cistern. I need to learn how to be happy.
Right.
And then there's other people who allow that your cistern to naturally flow and naturally gain water. Right. I mean, have we gone too odd right now? But
No. It makes sense. It's like because humor and happiness is like, yeah, there's stuff that happens from outside. But you have to allow it to fill your cistern of happiness.
That's right. And so to me, people, I was just listening to the radio on the way over here. Well, they're talking about the Ontario government, and then they're talking about the G7 thing, right?
Uh-huh.
I notice my tummy is tighter than tight. And I was thinking about all the wonderful things that had happened in my life, and because I didn't want to show up here and you say, hey, you're the happiness expert, and I'm like, yeah, not today. I listened to the radio.
I understand what you're getting at with, because Ontario they have the clowns on parade, and of course the G7, of course the biggest clown in the world. I'm being careful not to use names. I think everybody who listens to this show, when I refer to the clowns, they know who I'm talking about.
But to me, right, so just by listening to that, my heart started to like close in, my tummy got tight. Well, you can't be funny and you can't be open to other people if your tummy's in knots. So, mm-hmm. that just to finish this metaphor, which I didn't realize I was going to get caught up in, when the natural rain comes into the cistern, that's people who make you feel fantastic about yourself. That's mm-hmm. the people who can give you a shot in the arm when you need it. That's the people who, that's the, you know, it could be a conversation like this that makes you realize, you know what? Damn it, I got water coming out my tap here. You know, like there's something to celebrate, right? So, yeah. And to me, a lot of people make a mistake by hanging around or listening to stuff that makes their tummy tight because they want to be informed and realize, you know what? My happiness depends on me being open and my tummy being nice and calm and me being able to stretch my arms out and encompass everybody else in the world.
That's right. You're a hugger, too.
I don't want to brag, but a lot of people say I am the best hugger.
I know you're close to the top of my list. Oh wait! Just in case the wife is listening, it's like don't worry, dear. You're still at the top. Exactly. So hang on one second.
Yes,
we got to get to you know the sponsors have got to get their word in, right?
Yes.
So we'll get to station ID, yep. And a couple messages, and we'll be right back. And thank you for listening to Community Living Radio right now.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, UBC, Vancouver.
This year is the 38th annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival in Jericho Beach Park. Over 60 acts from legend Richard Thompson to Blind Pilot, Phosphorescent, and artists from over 14 countries. There's a world of amazing music coming to your own backyard. The Vancouver Folk Music Festival runs from July 17th to 19th. Information and tickets are available at thefestival.bc.ca.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah. Explosion! There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at CITR. So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
And welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I almost went out and bought whatever those, you know, the sponsor stuff. I realized I needed that stuff.
Yeah, you need that stuff. Yeah, and it, some of them are really cool people to donate to.
Nice.
You know, great causes for people with disabilities and other things that are happening in our community.
And again, that whole idea of community.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I was telling you this or not, but I was at a 70th wedding anniversary yesterday as a friend. Like, and there was only 24 people there. And I happen to be one of the people that they...
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's an honor and a half.
Isn't it? Like...
I mean, wow. It's like... There must have been some fantastic stories passed around at an event like that.
Well, I was lucky enough to meet these people. So the people who are the parents who are celebrating 70th anniversary, mm-hmm. I got to meet the one daughter. I had no idea that led me to meet the second daughter, who just happened to be in a choir with a guy that I knew from before. But I had no idea he was married to the first person I met. Okay?
Wow.
Like, oh, yeah. And then it gets even weirder. So So then I'm in Canadian Tire in the parking lot, and I have the hood of my car up because I don't know what I was doing, but I was doing something. This guy comes over, and trust me, I tried this pickup thing oh my goodness, I'm just gonna be a little damsel in distress here and put my hood up, right?
Yeah.
And this guy comes over, who I have no idea who he is, but he says, "Are you okay? Do you need any help?" Well, I said something back to him. His eyes glistened, right? Mm-hmm. And if you ever look at somebody and they say something and their little, you know, the lips start to smile and then their eyes start to glisten, it's like, buckle in, you're in for a good time. So he fires something back to me. I fire something back to him. We have this rapid, you know, funny back and forth happen. And I said, "No, I'm good. I'm doing great." He said, "Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure." I look, right? And I look over at this, where this guy is going, because I'm thinking, what a great repartee we just had. And I look over, and the guy who celebrated the 70th anniversary yesterday was getting in his van, and the guy that came over to see if I was okay was his son, who was in from Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Okay? So I was able to pull all these things in yesterday to talk about what a miraculous and amazing couple this two are, because they have 70 years of love, respect, building community. They are funnier than funny. They love their good old prairie folks. And their front door is, like, as I say, they don't need air conditioning in that place, because there's people coming in the back door. There are people leaving the front door. People coming in these people are 90.
The door is fan the place cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these guys are 95 and 90. And wow. They still have, I bet you they still have 10 people a day coming through their house. And there's always a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And there's always something in the bottom of their fridge. Ooh, let me just pull out, and they always have a treat.
Wow.
But it's all based on, you know, sociableness and community. Right?
Okay, we're back to amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. Yeah, and so I got to think about that yesterday and how unusual my relationship with that particular family is, because I met all those different people in the family without knowing they were related.
Wow.
Is that? Yeah. Apparently, I was supposed to meet that family.
Yes. And I'm glad you did meet them, because that's a fantastic story.
Yes.
Actually, you do a really good job at the storytelling.
Yeah.
I bet you got a formula for that, don't you?
Well, you know what? So, storytelling. First of all, make sure that the topic is going to be interesting.
Yep.
Okay? Because you can only story tell if the people see the reason why you're storytelling. But if you just flat out story tell, it's really boring.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, and then such and such, and then such and such. So you got to learn how to cut it down, pick up the important parts, how to emphasize and embellish. Because if you're just telling a story for a story's sake, no, people start looking at their watch. They start rolling their eyes. They're like, or as, you know, my brother does, he does the TV.
She's whining her hand.
And he usually is vocal. Yeah. And? Right? Like, he's the best editor in the world. Like, if you want to story tell with him, get to the point. But other people, storytelling is about, first of all, know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, know the reason why you're telling that story.
Because
if it's just for you, ain't nobody going to love it. Right? That's where you're like, ooh, how wonderful am I? How wonderful am I? No, people love to hear your highs and your lows.
Right.
And they love to hear your lows because they want to hear how you got out of it. So if I'm very serious about my lows and how blah, 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 nobody cares. Because there's always a twist on whatever has happened in my life to make me look at something so I can put humor in. And mm-hmm. that's the trick is if you're storytelling, find a way to make it humorous.
Yes.
Right? Like you and I, where did we meet?
Oh, should I tell that story? The yeah. story about the latex divining rod.
which sounds so rude. So rude the way it you say rude. It. It's like, it hey, rude, I know, right? It sounds like a home party that most people are going to be phoning up. Michael, where do I get in touch with that amazing Amanda? Right?
You were telling a story about, actually it was an inspirational talk about how people should use the deepest depths of their talents in order to help their community.
The path of creativity.
Yeah.
How do you celebrate your creativity? Yeah. Yeah.
And I just thought it was really creative that you came out on the stage in the light and you had it was a balloon. We'll call it what it was, a balloon,
but it was a 260. It was
brown and it was shaped like a Y.
Yes.
And then eventually at one point when you wanted people to ask the question why, you held it up as a Y and said why.
I know, which takes an awful lot of nerve to actually do that, right? Because if I have if I don't have a connection with my audience, or if they're worried about me, they will not laugh.
Mm-mm.
They don't laugh. They're too worried about me. I don't know if it's making a fool of myself or they're too worried about me. Sometimes it's physically, right? Like right. I saw a person and he was having such a great time, but he walked off the edge of the stage. Like walked off the edge of the stage. And luckily enough, it was only about a 5-foot drop, but his whole audience for the next 15 minutes went like this. Like they were like, well, if they're too busy intaking air, they can't laugh, right?
They'll have a stock.
Exactly. So that whole thing of how you have to embrace your audience, right? But if I come across like, see, this is my own particular style though. Sometimes I like to come across as pompous because I know later on I'm going to hit the pavement. So I want to be this. And that's how I came up with Amazing Amanda, right?
Yeah.
That's how I came up with Amazing Amanda because, you know, I was doing a magic show and with, you know, motivation and stuff like that. And I always hated it. And now, you know, here's Amanda O'Leary. And, you know. Me, I walk out like, you know, like this little schmo, like, you know, who am I to say anything to anybody? But when I come out and I take this pompous thing of, you know, I am Amanda O'Leary, right? And then I throw my hand in the air and take this, you know, sort of a ballerina, it's not a ballerina pose, but it's like, you know, like, ooh, look at me, I'm a statue kind of thing. And I say to people, I'm also known as Amazing Amanda, right? Well, everybody knows. And then I hold that pose. And sometimes I got the little hand down by my thigh, you know, sort of like, come on, you know, yeah, come on, yeah, start clapping. And they immediately know it's going to be a different show than what they thought it was going to be. So Amanda O'Leary is always the basis for everything, but Amazing Amanda is the one who figures out how to put the fun in it because she is the one who can take more pokes at Amanda O'Leary than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
See? And that's where people love it.
Yeah.
People love it.
Because during that inspirational speaking, while you were talking about the divining rod, it's like you were talking about your father getting all curious about how is this possibly going to work? It's just a stick, man. Come on now.
Yeah,
exactly. How's a stick going to find water?
Yeah. And that ultimate belief that he came to when he could not pull that divining rod. You know, but the trip I had to go on was why did that story come to me? Mm-hmm. And I did not know why it came to me. And then I thought, well, so I ended up with talking about the field that the guy has to walk around, that ultimately they're trying to find water. And then you've got this divining rod that they're using to connect the two together.
Yeah.
And the more I chewed on it, the more I realized it was the path of creativity. And not to throw things out before you've really given them, like really tried them on and see if you can do something with it. Like that creative process is... Nobody could have figured out why I was walking on stage with a brown latex 260 blown up in a Y, holding it over my shoulder and parallel to the ground.
Nope.
But I caught their interest.
Yeah.
Right? And as soon as I came out and I said, you're probably wondering, and I shot this letter at them. I changed it from something over my shoulder to holding it out so they could see it was a Y. They were on board at that point, because if they weren't, nobody would have answered me. They would have all just said, go, you know.
when the crickets and the cicadas start to sing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Actually, I've had that happen to me on a talk.
Yeah.
And the organizer of the event, he gave me the wrong information about the audience. I was like,
oh my gosh.
And I'm like, I'm trying to get their attention there. It's deadpanned.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Just yeah. Make it worse.
Oh my gosh. Well, and you know what's so funny is people throw you into, like, seriously, it's like you into the lion's den, because mm-hmm. you get one kick at the cat. That's all, you know, or one kick at the lion, and that's all you get, right? And they give you the wrong information. So, you know, if you go in and you're talking to, you know, a bunch of Buddhist nuns or, you know, like, and nobody's answering, you know, they may have forgotten to tell you there's a vow of silence that's happening. And you might think that they're all, you know, not loving you when they're really, you know, people forget.
Yeah.
It's like people say, when I ask people, who's the audience? And they're like, they're affronted.
Yes.
Right.
But it's important to know. It's
oh
like,
my gosh.
It's like, how can you
aim my wisdom when I don't know the, you know, how can I, point my why at you?
I tell people being entertaining is like standing in a kitchen. You got all your spices
yes.
and your ingredients together, right? But okay, this group over here, they don't eat meat.
Yeah.
So breaking up the slab of beef and slapping on the grill ain't gonna work.
Exactly, exactly. Anybody for another rib? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. If you do that. If you say that anybody for another rib to a bunch of butchers, they love it. You know,
right,
exactly.
Exactly,
you know,
right?
Like,
but so you got to make sure did you pull the right spices and the right ingredients out and you add it in.
And so my mother was a phenomenal cook. Mm-hmm. Okay. So to me, there's nothing like when I think of creativity, there is nothing that I can't pull back on that will tell me a story that I can usually create to be interesting to other people. My mother was a phenomenal cook, but she never followed a recipe.
Okay. I came along with that idea.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, when you said that, you know, all the spices and all the everything else. So I'm heading off to university. Well, she made this chili con carne that people still ask about, you know. And so I said, well, how do you make it? She said, well, you take tomatoes. Uh-huh. Right? Well, you take a tin of tomatoes. Uh-huh. What size, Mom? You take a tin of tomatoes, right? Like she knows exactly what it is in her mind. And then she finally goes over. It's a 28-ounce of tomatoes, right? I'm like, okay. So what else do you put in it? Well, she ended up with like 6 cookbooks. And she's like, okay, well, this one over here wants you to have half a pound of ground beef. This one over here wants 3 pounds, right? So that's the scope that you can do. Then it was like an eighth of a teaspoon of chili powder to like 3 tablespoons. Again, that's a wide, wide thing, right? So an onion, you could have a quarter of an onion or you could have 3 onions. Like everything was, there was so wide. So to me, when I'm thinking of your audience and the spices and everything else, right? The audience can be seen as the 28 ounce of tomatoes.
Right.
Some of them love onions. So don't back off on the onions. Some of them hate chili powder. Don't make it hot and spicy. Right? Like, yeah. don't do that to them. But the information is held within that can of tomatoes. And it's a great speaker who can realize this is my stuff, but it can show up in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And depending on who the audience is and their sense of humor and where they are. Like, if you get in after lunch, oh, my gosh, all you can hear is people digesting. Right? But that's what you need to do, is to need to understand. And my mother always trusted her ability she always smelt. She would take and her hand over top of a pot, and she would smell it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she would go, no, needs sugar, right? She would like this, and then a taste.
Yeah.
And her line was always, it's not up to my usual. And my brother-in-law, after knowing her for 40 years, said, I don't know, Mom. I don't think I've ever had your usual. But every meal she made was unbelievably delicious.
Yeah. And that's how you apply the same thought process to your inspirational talks.
Yes, because creativity can be drawn from everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And how much do you want to look like, people forget that my background's in theater, and people forget that when you meet a really pompous character, what people love is just to watch that character fall from grace.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They love that. So that's what, you know, but they always want to see people triumph. So they need to be able to see how people got up.
Yeah.
Right? Well, when you give people a story that does that, where they recognize themselves, they can see that you've been able to do something that they want to do. Oh, you might as well put honey on your hands, you know, like they're
exactly. They're going to start lapping it right up.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And their ears open.
Yeah.
Right. So that the other thing that people forget about humor is that when you do it, it changes the chemicals in your body. So it's a proven fact. When people go in and like clowns go into, and I know you're not a fan of them, go into hospitals and just, mm-hmm. they're only with the people maybe 1 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But that night, the number of times that they click their button will go from 10 to 1.
Right.
Because of the residual feeling of fun, right?
Of the humor and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'm so, remarkable, isn't it? And people forget. It's like, oh, I got stuff to say, so, you know.
Well, you can take yourself seriously.
Oh, yeah.
But not too seriously.
Yeah.
It's a balance. So, speaking of balance, we will be right back.
Okay. But you're going to tell me, you're going to remind me I need to tell the story of going to England.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to hear the story about you going to England when we get right back. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Community Living Radio. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM,
UBC Vancouver.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here,
God. Oh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Oh. Isn't there anything? 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 Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
And we're back here on Community Living Radio. This is the final segment, and we're having a great time here with Amanda. And she is truly amazing.
Well, and who am I to say you're wrong?
Well, we got to build you up yeah. so that you can fall.
Exactly.
And then come back again. Wait, this sounds like a Disney or a Tom Cruise movie. Oh, my
yes.
God. I said Disney and Tom Cruise in the same sentence.
Well, yeah. Editing floor.
So you're going to tell us about this. I'm going to do it again. Amazing trip to England.
Well, I had a chance to go to England to do some teaching, right? Because, you know, it's easy to help people get over their discomfort with standing in front of people when you explain to them, this is what makes it easy for you, right? So anyways, I'm going over there and I'm doing this thing and I'm traveling with a friend of mine. Well, you know what? It was the wrong time of my life. My apprehension about going over was phenomenal. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I should be here. I should be doing this. This needs to be done. All this stuff. So there was a gazillion reasons why I should not be going, and a very short list on the other side of why I should be going. And I thought, why did you agree to this? Why are you doing this? And, you know, I've got the stick, and I'm beating myself up over it. And I'm talking to my friend who I'm going with, and I'm saying, oh my gosh, I don't know, this is the wrong time, blah, 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 blah. And I'm, you know, that verbal diarrhea yeah. stuff of everything else. But I'm doing it by text, you know, so she's texting me, I'm texting her. She's texting me, I'm texting her. And it gets close, and all of a sudden I get this text, which was, I think I will remember it for my whole life. She said, so who's coming on this trip? You or the funny Amanda? And it was just an eye-opener to me that I had given totally into worrying about that it wasn't the right time, that it wasn't this, it wasn't that. I should be staying here because of other things that I had to do or think about or whatever else. And as soon as she hit me on the nose with the little rolled-up newspaper and said, who's coming, you or the funny one? Mm-hmm. I went, the funny one. And I allowed myself at that point to step in and say, you know what? It may not be the right time. It may be, there may be a thousand reasons why I shouldn't be doing this. But I am going to step into this. I'm going to embrace it. And I am going to enjoy it. And I am going to have fun.
You know, that's an excellent point for a lot of people in our listening audience, because a lot of people have a disability.
Yeah.
And either due to accident, birth, whatever yes. the situation is, and they're always looking for something inspirational.
Yeah.
And that was totally right on point with, you know, just step into it.
Yes. Yeah, you have to give yourself permission to enjoy. You have to give yourself permission to find your sense of humor. You have to give yourself permission to embrace what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I you're going to sit there and think, I wonder what she eats, because so I was up at a friend's cottage on just last week, and I'm sitting out on this deck, and it overlooks the Shuswap Lake. It's gorgeous. And I look out, and I'm thinking, I got to write an article for this magazine. And what I always love is figuring out, what is it in my life that shows me just to keep trying, you know, just to keep realizing the potential. And I think that's what we all need to do, is figure out our potential, mm-hmm. and just, you know, and just keep going towards that. And when I looked out, there were three trees, and so. And the patio had a bar over top of it, so I could only see the three trees. One had curves to it. The next one had even more curves. So you know that something has caused them to bend, and they were formed by whatever it is. And the third one was ramrod straight. So it looks like the one that's had the most blessed, incredible life. And then when I looked over top of it, the two other ones were healthy. And the third one that was ramrod straight and looked like it had the greatest life ever was dead at the top.
Wow.
And I thought, isn't that so interesting? Because me as a human being, tends to compare our lives to somebody else.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so then I thought, isn't this wild? Like, this is me looking at a perspective. And then I open my scope up one more little notch, and there is, it's a twig. It's a what do they call that in Alberta? It's a spar tree. So they know yeah. that, right? Mm-hmm. So that they know, it's not the right word, but they know that it's the way to go and everything else. And so next to these three was an absolutely... It was a twig. It was a twig, and it just went up, and it had teeny weeny, barren limbs on it. You know what? I'm sitting there looking, and with that, a great big huge bird sat on the dead tree. And I went, isn't that interesting? He doesn't see value in the other three that are sitting there. He sees value in the one that most likely thinks it has nothing to offer.
Now there's another good one, because we all have something to offer.
Absolutely,
we? Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Right. And it is that stuff that, you know, I mean, we're talking to people with disabilities here, and it is sometimes that disability that makes your perspective so unique, and it is so mm-hmm. needed in this world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well. Okay, we're going to talk about, because I'm that kind of physics science geek, right?
Yeah.
And one of my biggest heroes, and he died recently,
yeah.
And on his headstone is the formula for a black hole. Of course, I'm talking about Stephen Hawking.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Like, my formula for a black hole is to tell a bad joke. It's yeah. like...
was he not rated one of the greatest minds in
yes.
For us growing up, because Einstein was already dead by the time we
yes.
were near death by
yeah.
the time we were
yeah.
we were growing up,
and right? he still couldn't get his hair under control.
Yeah, he still couldn't. Yeah. but Stephen Hawking, he it's like it was Lou Gehrig's disease or
yes.
something like that,
and he was supposed to die when he was like, he got that really early.
Yeah.
Right?
He was supposed to have been dead long before.
Like, he was like 27 yeah. or something. He was like, it
yeah.
was, right?
Yeah, and he lived to be, I can't even, I can't even count that high.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about black holes, like, can't count that. That's funny, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but he did most of his work from a wheelchair.
Yes, yes. And people listen to him, right? So he's, I find him remarkable because people talk about, well, I have such trouble speaking. I have such whatever. I have such whatever. When you have something interesting to say, and he always had humor to it, people listened even though it took an acquired ear to understand that electronic voice, right?
Right.
But people stood up and listened and waited. But he had an interesting combination of he knew his stuff, right? He knew his audience, and he always found a way to put humor in it.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much time we have left here.
We still got a few seconds left. Oh.
Few seconds? Oh,
well,
shoot.
To quote my wife on this one, to me, sometimes to me a few seconds could be hours.
Well, I have a great story about somebody who taught me the most incredible thing, and it might take 3 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, if it's going to be the half hour long version, we're going to have to go for the cliff notes.
No. So anyways, I'm out. I'm doing an opening day event for this mall. So I'm walking around. I got my pockets are filled with magic. Well, I'm filled with magic, and the whole thing is just to have people stop, have fun, tell them what's going on, everything else. And it's like 900 degrees, and I'm coming across this, down this sidewalk, and I see this fellow, and he's having trouble walking. But I'm having such a great day, and I've had such a great day, and I say the most stupid thing to him as he tries to get up onto this 6-inch curb. Oh. And anyways, I looked at him and I said, "How are you?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what are you stupid? You never, oh my gosh, you don't say that to somebody who's having this much trouble just walking and everything else." And I'm not a doctor, but if I had to put it to something, I would say something like cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Right? And so he finally gets up onto this 6 inches. And he says, and I look at him, and he says to me, "Ah, it's terrible." And at that point, I know my face, I'm trying to keep it smiley, but in my mind, I'm thinking, "Oh, what? What did you just say to me?" Right? And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." I said, "I'm sorry." And this is the other thing, is where you give the other person an out, right?
Right.
So anyways, I said to the guy, I said, "I'm sorry. My hearing's not so great. What did you? Could you just say that for me one more time?" And he said, "I'm in hell." And I thought, now I am in panic because he said it twice. I can't ask him a third time. And as I go to look at him, I say, "You're," and it comes to me. It's like the word came out from I don't know where, right?
Yeah.
But it said, "You're incredible." He says, "Yeah." I said, "You're my kind of guy," right? He looks at me. He's got the biggest smile in the world. He says, "I'm everybody's kind of guy," right? And I said, "You are, and everybody should be like you," right? Because
yeah.
His whole thing was, "I'm everybody's kind of guy." You know, and you look and you say, like, that was a huge lesson for me. Just to sit back and let somebody teach me a lesson like that.
Yeah. That was a great lesson.
Oh, my gosh. And what a beautiful story. Because people know that when they're dealing with somebody I think able bodies don't know how to approach somebody with a disability.
Yeah, sometimes
they just, you know, you don't want to be patronizing. So you don't want to be, you don't want to offer help when they don't need it. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. You don't want them to see themselves as less. You don't want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do? They usually stand beside them and don't look at them. Right?
Yeah.
But it's their uncomfortableness. It's their, it's the person, it's the able body's uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So I actually have one last serious question.
Okay.
Okay. Now, see, while we were setting everything up and doing our sound checks, right?
Yeah.
And I remember scribbling down some notes. And by the way, I basically took the whole page of notes and we threw it aside and burned it except for one last question. No. How do people learn to be happy?
Oh. Wow. Know it's possible. Know it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Flank yourself with people who make you think higher than you are. See past yourself. See outside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To see the goodness in who you are and to see the goodness in other people. To assume that other people are not... To assume that other people are just as wonderful as you are, right?
Yeah.
So to step into that happiness thing, and it's not an overnight, because people want me to teach them how to be funny, but they think I should be able to do it in 15 minutes. It's not. It's like running a marathon.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't just throw down the TV remote and start hiking. You just, you know, you can't do that.
That's certainly not subscribed.
No. But I have people who say, you know, and after a month of being around somebody, and it would just happen to be me, and they just happened to make this comment to me, and they said something, and everybody burst out laughing. And they looked at me and they said, a month ago, I wouldn't have said that. So there's a real interesting thing where, and I talk about happiness is also, you've got to, good angel, bad angel.
Mm-hmm.
And the good angel will say, stop talking. Just stop talking. And the bad angel will say, okay, fire it in now. Fire it in now. Say it now. And it's the difference of if you've got like a bow and arrow, and but the target is moving.
Right.
Well, if you hold that arrow an extra second, an extra 2 seconds, you will lose that line. You will not hit the target. And it's the same thing with humor and happiness. You have to be willing to jump in and just try. And it's like any other muscle, you gotta try. You gotta exercise it, and you gotta exercise it. And if it doesn't work, you dust yourself off and you say, why didn't that work? And sometimes the biggest laughs I get are when I say something and it goes over like a lead balloon, and I just look at people. I'm like, really? You know? And they then realize I get the laugh on the second thing, which is,
yeah,
you know? Did I answer your question?
Yeah,
we got onto humor, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, you did. You answered the question.
Yeah.
Now, for the next question is, how do people get a hold of you so they can have you be the life of their party? To get a hold of you to work with you and help you inspire them along their path to happiness.
Yeah, well, I have this wonderful website called AmandaO'Leary.com.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I would have never thought of that.
I know. Yes. Wow. There's no apostrophe in that. It's just all the... AmandaO'Leary.com. Yeah. And you know the other thing about happiness? Don't be afraid to talk to people. This party I was at yesterday, I got talking to somebody and he said, oh, well, my family came over from Ireland. I said, so does mine. He says, my great grandmother is an O'Leary.
Oh, well.
I said, let me get my license. And I showed him my license, and he's like, no. Right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That is a great story.
Isn't it?
Just open up, right?
And if you don't talk to people, you will never find out their absolute, and I call it a gem. Everyone has a gem to give somebody else. And it's like an oyster. If you don't have the pearl and you don't share that pearl, mm-hmm. and some people don't realize what pearl it is.
Yeah.
Right? But you see it on the other person's face.
So we'll let them find AmandaO'Leary.com.
Yeah. Yes.
So that you can show them the pearl.
Yes.
And with that, it's time for us to go.
No.
I know, right?
I could get another cup of tea.
Yeah. We'll have another cup of tea off air.
Exactly. Anyways, okay. Thank you very much, Michael. It's been...